at this time. A riot, you made it back in just in time. All right. Living water. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 7 is where we're going to begin reading this morning as we finish. Jesus' appointment with the woman at the well. Verse 7 of John 4. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that you recorded for us, that we might know you, that we might know who you are, that we might know your will, that we might know how to worship you and how to become your children through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, the living water. We pray if there be one like the woman at the well here this morning that is searching but does not yet know you, that they would come to know you today as the Lord and Savior of their life. We pray, Lord, that you would be magnified in our service. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. This is part two of part one we started last week. We read part of chapter three and the beginning of chapter four. Jesus had a choice to make as to how he was going to get from Judea to Galilee, which was in the north. In between is an area called Samaria. And the Jews often went around Samaria because they didn't care for the Samaritans very much, and so they skirted around Samaria. But Jesus decided to do what? He decided to go straight through. We make choices every day. The choices we make have a profound effect on ourselves and others, sometimes in ways we may never know. Sometimes those choices seem like happenstance. But I believe with God there is no such thing as happenstance, because there is a God in heaven who is on the throne. Sometimes our choices have eternal rewards. I chose, when I was in high school, when I was graduating, I chose to go to Bob Jones University, to college, largely because my parents decided, when we had a missions conference, to host a missionary couple in our home. And guess where that missionary couple had gone to college? Bob Jones University. And that is largely why I went to Bob Jones. I don't think I maybe would have if I hadn't have met the Hannahs and heard about how the Lord used that college in their life. I chose to call a girl named Rebecca at college. I had gone out with her once. If you call it that at Bob Jones, you can't date off campus, so you go and sit across from each other at a table and eat, and that's dating at the snack shop at Bob Jones University. And I decided to call her one evening at college, and Rebecca was not in. Instead, somebody else picked up the phone. It was her roommate. Her roommate's name was Katie. And so for the next 20 minutes, I talked to Katie while we waited for Rebecca to come back from wherever Rebecca was. And by the time I got done with the phone conversation, I knew I didn't want to go out with Rebecca. I wanted to go out with Katie. I did shortly thereafter. And she's the one playing piano up here. The Lord has blessed us greatly. A choice, simply to make a phone call and then to stay on the phone, which I'm not surprised that I stayed on the phone. I'm surprised she stayed on the phone. I decided to switch majors in college to Bible and preaching from physics. And then I decided to talk to an outgoing youth pastor from Georgia and ended up in the youth ministry for 12 years in Georgia, and it was a wonderful ministry. I decided to connect with two men in the church in particular. That there was more than that, but Roger White and Al Summerford had sent a thing to Bob Jones. I think all the deacons had, but it had one of their numbers on it, and so when I was looking to leave the youth ministry, go in the full-time pastorate, I called, and I can't remember if I talked to Roger first or I talked to Al, but here I am. And I've been here for 20 years. And I grew up in Virginia. I went to college in South Carolina. I youth pastored in Georgia. I've been here in Florida for 20 years, and I do not plan on going any further south. But when I left Georgia, I wanted to go north because my parents were in Virginia and my wife's in Ohio, but God had other plans. And you never regret following the plans of the Lord. I've decided several times to talk to someone or to ride a bus with a bunch of kids and had the opportunity to lead somebody to know the Lord. The Lord uses the choices we make, and the choices we make can have profound effect on other people. One of the teens in my youth group when I was in Georgia decided to pick up and call his friend, a young man, a 14-year-old that had been coming to our church for about a year. He decided to call his friend, just as that friend had a gun to his head with a bullet in it. And he decided to put the gun down. And he is a profound testimony. His name is Jason Councilman. He loves the Lord, and he is has one of the highest grossing Chick-fil-A's in Savannah, Georgia. But most importantly, he still loves the Lord. And God has used him. Choices that we make. Jesus had a choice to make. In this story, he chose to go through to Samaria to meet a woman at the well. He chose to tell her about her need and his provision. He chose to be patient. He chose to wait for her to return. Choices. Jesus' choice, he left Galilee. He went to Samaria, to Sychar, to Jacob's well, where he had an appointment with this woman, though she didn't know it, he did. To request water of a woman coming to draw from the well in the heat of the day. All of these choices made in according to the will of the Father in heaven. As Jesus reiterated here in John 6:38, "For I came from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Then later Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me," what? "Even so send I you." We must not forget, as children of God, we are sent into this world to be salt and light, to make a difference by the choices that we make. We are sent out into this world commissioned to bring glory to the Father through our good works, to be light. We are sent with a message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to spread throughout the world that others might come to know him as we do. We need to be about our Father's business as Jesus was. His choice, our choice. I want us to see, secondly, Jesus' conversation, his witness with this woman. We read about that beginning in verse 7. The woman comes to the well. Jesus saith unto her, asks of her, "Give me to drink." In verse 9, the woman of Samaria said unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It took her back that a Jew would actually do what? Speak to her. I mean, she isn't just a nobody. She's a nobody Samaritan. She's a nobody Samaritan woman. And in her day, especially from a Jew, even speaking to her was something out of the ordinary. But Jesus spoke up. He was not afraid to speak to her. And she was worth it. He loved her, though she knew it not. He loved her. He cared for her, and so he did what? He spoke up. We need to speak up more often than we do. We need to be willing to open our mouth and let God use us. And it doesn't have to be the first thing we say, "Are you going to heaven or hell?" It can be, "Hello, how is your day going?" Just open your mouth and say something. Let others know that you what? That you care. He spoke up. He used common things to explain spiritual realities. He used the well and the water to explain to her that there was something greater that she needed, a thirst, a greater, more important thirst that needed to be quenched. He spoke the truth in what? In love, revealing the woman's need. But he spoke the truth. People need so dearly. They need to hear the truth. They don't need for us to tell them what the world's telling them. They've got all of that. They don't need us to tell them what they want to hear. They need us to tell them what they need to hear. But in love, in a loving way. And Jesus did that. He didn't come on like a bull in a china shop. He simply asked her for what? For a cup of water. And he gradually went from there, giving her the truth that there was something he had to give that was better than what she was drawing from that well. He answered her questions while staying on task. In the middle of this conversation, she wants to start a debate on whether they should go to Mount Gerizim to worship or whether they should go to Jerusalem, and Jesus didn't take the bait. He stayed on what? He stayed on task. Oftentimes, we get drug into a tangent. We need to remember to stay on what? To stay on task. He answered her questions, but he stayed on task. He showed her he was interested, but he stayed on task. Notice also how her eyes were opened a step at a time in faith to the words of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And when Jesus is speaking, it indeed is the what? The Word of God. That's right. And I'm not God and I'm not Jesus, but I can share the Word of God just the same. It's written where? Right here for me to share. But he did it patiently. He answered each question. And she changed what she referred to him by. She started out calling him a Jew. And then she referred to him three times as Sir or Lord. And then she referred to him as a prophet. And then finally, she came to realize he was who? He was the Messiah. And see, that's our goal. It's not enough for people to think that Jesus is a prophet or a good fella. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He is the risen Lord. But you know, sometimes that takes time. And there are steps. And sometimes it's hours, and sometimes it's days, and sometimes it is what? Years. We just need to be patient, continue to share the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that changes people's lives. Soul winning requires patience and time for God to open minds and change hearts to see the truth. There are five revelations quickly in here this morning I want to go through that Jesus shared with this woman. Five things he revealed unto her. First of all, that he had what? He had living water. Living water. In response to her, to his request, she was surprised, so she asked, Why are you asking of me to give you water? And rather than Jesus going into a big debate about whether Jews should be asking, no, he said, well, if you had asked me, I would have given you what? I would have given you living water, drawing a contrast to the water in the well versus living water. If you'll look, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked, and he would have given thee living water. She had no initial understanding past the physical, and so she quite understandably asked. And Jesus said three things here. Number one, he goes on to say, if you drink of this water, you'll what? If you'll drink of the water that's in the well, you will, jumping ahead of me, thirst again. You're going to have to keep coming back to the what? Okay, you're going to have to keep coming back to the well. But if you drink of the water that I have to give, verse 14, it shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you drink of the water I have to give, you will never what? Thirst again. So number one, if you drink of this water, it's refreshing. It is sustains your physical life, but you're going to have to come back to this well over and over again. But if you drink of the well that I could give you, you will never thirst again. Now he's not talking about physical thirst. He's talking about what? Spiritual thirst. But again, like Nicodemus, she struggles to understand that at first. Like others, she had been trying to fill a void, a thirst in her heart that only Jesus could fill. Only a relationship with God can fill. Only that salvation can remedy. She obviously had tried to fill it with religion, but it hadn't satisfied. She tried to fill it with romantic relationships and promiscuous living, and it did not work. She was on her, well, she had been through five husbands and was on her sixth, and he wasn't her husband. You know, the world is going to tell you that a drug can fill the void. It can't. That alcohol can fill the void. It can't. That ritual can fill the void. It can't. That relationships can fill the void. They can't. Only a relationship with who? Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can quench that thirst, can fill that void. Only the living water that Jesus had to give could satisfy. Only Jesus. He is the well of eternal life. He says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's not talking about physical hunger. He is talking about spiritual hunger. And he used illustrations from everyday life to help people to grasp what he was talking about. But it took a minute. It took a minute, and that's okay. What he had to give would fill that void, and what he had to give was everlasting. As that water gave life for today, she'd have to come back tomorrow. But what Jesus had to give, all you have to do is drink of it what? Once. All you have to do is embrace Jesus once. The Holy Spirit comes in and he fills the void and he continues to give life and sustenance to the child of God, spiritual life. Water is life-giving and sustaining. And so was the water from the well in the desert to the people of Samaria. But more so is Christ, the living water, which gives and sustains eternal life, spiritual life, and all those that choose him. She then responded in verse 15, Sir or Lord, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She changed how she responded to him. Now he's Sir or Lord. And she says, I want this water. I want this water. She's getting there, but she's not there yet because she's still thinking about the physical over the what? Over the spiritual. So Jesus kind of changes direction here just a bit. He's really not, but he seems to be. And in verse 16, he says, you know, go call thy husband and come hither. Why do you think he asked her that? Because she needed her husband in order to make this decision? You think that would... No, that's not what Jesus was saying. Why did he ask her about her husband? Because he needed her to see that she was spiritually deficient. She needed her to understand the spiritual void that she had been trying to fill and couldn't fill it. He said, bring your husband. To which she had to reply, and he knew it, I have no husband. Jesus responded, yes, you're right, you have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now, he isn't your husband. You have answered, he says at the end of verse 18, truly, you've been honest about your situation. In so doing, Jesus reached her conscience and brought what? Conviction. Conviction over her sin. You see, you can't be saved from your sin until you're willing to admit to your sin. When a child comes up at Vacation Bible School and says, I want to be saved, I ask them this question. What do you want to be saved from? And I ask the same question of adults. Because a lot of times the answer is not sin. It's something else. Romans 3, it tells us, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But I left out the first part of the verse. What's the first part of the verse? The wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. First, you must come face to face with a sinner. And that sinner is who? That sinner is us. That sinner is you. That sinner is me. We're the sinner that needs a Savior, that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be forgiven, that needs life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so he chose something that would bring conviction to her heart as she confessed to him, yes, that's right. The man I'm living with is not my what? Is not my husband. And I've been through this, five of them. By the way, is that not often the case with the world today and so many people in it, and even some of you before you came to Christ? And yet, like this woman, God loved you, God sought you, and he offered you living water, and you drank by faith, and he saved your soul, and he changed your life, and he can change the lives of others too. Don't give up. Don't think it's not going to happen. But first, people need to come face to face with their sin, and he brought her face to face with her sin. And she admitted to it, to her guilt. And in doing so, she changed. Now she said, oh, sir, I perceive that thou art a what? Thou art a prophet. So she's moved from Jew to Lord or sir to prophet, as he revealed to her the problem, the disease that needed the remedy. And witnessing to others, we must not be afraid to point out their sin, for unless they acknowledge and repent of their sin, they cannot be saved. The Ten Commandments are a good teacher to do that. You know, have you ever lied? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you always honored your father and your mother? Have you committed adultery? Have you ever stolen something? The Ten Commandments are a good teacher to bring others to a realization that they're sinners that need a Savior. Because a lot of people don't think about it. And a lot of people are comparing themselves to who? To other people, to somebody that's worse than, well, look, I'm not that guy. You know, I mean, that guy, look, he killed five people and he's in jail for the rest. I must be pretty good. I haven't killed five people. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? God. Okay, so we need to quit comparing ourselves to other sinners. We need people to compare themselves to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we what? Confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he reveals to her that he has living water. He reveals to her that the living water produces eternal life and she'll never thirst again. He reveals to her sin and her need of a Savior. And then he continues in verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, she said. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saying unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither on this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. In verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Jesus said, you're all concerned about where. I'm concerned about who. It's not where you worship. It's who you worship and what manner you worship them. Whether it's in spirit or in truth or whether you're just going through the what. So many people are going through the motions. Why are you this or why are you that? Well, I was raised that way. Why do you do this or why? Well, because it's the thing I'm supposed to what? To do. If I show up on church on Sunday, then God is going to be okay with me. So I show up in church on Sunday, I've done my duty, and therefore I don't have to worry about it till next Sunday rolls around. They're going through the what? The motions. God isn't concerned so much with the motions. He's concerned with the spirit, with the what? With the heart. She was all concerned about the place. Jesus was concerned with the heart. And we need to get people to see it's not about the building. It's not about the rituals. It's about having a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. It is a personal, a real personal choice. God is not a statue that needs a temple. He's a living spirit who needs a person and a relationship. And he wants to have that relationship with who? With us. Just amazing. The God of the universe wants to have a relationship with me. The woman at the well, Jesus saying, God wants to have a relationship with you. Been wrong about their religion and the place they were to worship. But it wasn't going to be too long in AD 70 and the Jewish temple was going to go away too. Because you see, the Bible tells us in Corinthians that we are now the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside the redeemed in Christ Jesus. And then finally, Jesus revealed to her who he was. He is more than a prophet. It's not enough that he's a prophet. He is the Savior of the world. He is the long-awaited Messiah. Look, if you would, in verse 25. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You've met him. You've met him. He is the well from which we get the living water. He is the one that we need to get to know personally through faith in him. By receiving him and trusting in him as our Lord and Savior. He is the fulfillment of all the promises concerning the Messiah to the Jews in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 18:15, maybe she knew this verse, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, and from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. That's Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And who is that prophet? Well, he's more than a prophet. As we go through the New Testament, we find out he is the seed of Abraham and of Jacob and of Isaac and of Jacob, that he comes from the tribe of Judah, that he is a descendant of the line of King David. He is the one that has come to save his people from their what? From their sins, and to build a kingdom that will last forever in righteousness. He is the one who came in Isaiah 53, upon whom God laid the sin and iniquity of all, who died on the cross, not for himself, but for our sins, and whose days God prolonged, who rose again from the what? Who rose again from the dead. He is the promised Messiah. Jesus readily acknowledged himself to be because he is. We must, in our witness, be firm and clear on the identity and the power of Jesus Christ to save. The gospel is not a formula. The gospel is not a prayer. The gospel is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. She then, having believed his word, ran off to tell others who came also, and many were saved. Look in verse 28 through 30. The woman then left her water part and went away to the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Look, if you would, down in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ. And I love this last phrase, the what? The Savior of the world. Not just of the Jews, but also of the Samaritan. Not just of the men, but also of the women. Not just of the adults, but also the children. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest, Jesus says. He is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But the name of who? But the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the well from which springs eternal life. He is the one who fills the void that no one else can. And so revival broke out. Not only did she accept, but she went and did what? Told others. What an example of what we should be doing. All God wants us to do is to go out and what? Tell her, you don't have to have a degree to go out and tell others. You don't have to know every verse in the Bible. Just go and tell somebody. Give them a track. Open your mouth. You may have to do it more than once. You may have to be patient and kind and loving and honest. But don't give up. Just bring them to Jesus. And He will give them life. In verse 31, in closing, His disciples, remember, they went away to find food while He had this entire conversation with the woman. It says in verse 31, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the field that is there before us, for the choices that we have to make. Lord, help us to be open to your leading. Help us to nurture that relationship that we have with you in prayer and in devotion, that you might guide us to others who need a Savior, that we might be so filled with the joy of the Lord that we can't help but open our mouth and tell somebody about the one who filled the void in our life and who can fill the void in theirs. Lord, I do pray if there's one who is yet to receive Jesus Christ, I pray that today might be their day of salvation and they would come as we give this hymn of invitation this morning. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.